Happy Friday, everybody. Here's to a great weekend, and let's kick it off by talking some Disney. Today, we're going to head over to Disney's Hollywood Studios and talk about all of the amazing fun you can have there this summer. It's definitely not a half-day park at this point. Let's kick it off with a word from our sponsors. That includes our friends over at the Magic for Less Travel. And this summer is an awesome time to squeeze in a quick, or even a long, Walt Disney World vacation. There's so much going on down there. Of course, you have all the happenings over at Pandora at Disney's Animal Kingdom. The studios has lots of new adventures to take in, including the Disney Pixar Live concerts. Those things are getting rave reviews. There's so much to do at the Magic Kingdom, Epcot as well. You got the water parks, perfect for the summertime. Mini golf, it's a great time to get down there. There are still some discounts out there, and there's still availability at your favorite restaurants as well. Drop by the magicforless.com today. Fill out that free, no obligation quote, and you never know. I know it's June right now, but there's still plenty of summer remaining. Get down there and explore some of these fun summer adventures at Walt Disney World. So check them out today. Drop by the magicforless.com. Fill out that free, no obligation quote, and you and I are going to check out to see, you know, what's out there. Maybe you can squeeze in a quick summer vacation. So check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Today's episode is also proudly sponsored by longtime listener Drew Baker of Aquitas Financial Group, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc. Drew is a financial advisor who has realized that he gets the most enjoyment out of working with like-minded clients and has built his business working with many people who share his same passion for Walt Disney World. Drew does retirement planning and investment management and conducts many meetings over the phone or Skype for those who aren't local to his Fort Wayne or Indianapolis, Indiana offices. Drew and his staff aim to bring the Disney difference in service into his business and how he treats his clients. Looking for someone to give you a free second set of eyes on your financial picture? Then support the folks who support us and call Drew Baker at 260-271-1050. Email him at drew.baker@ampf.com or look him up online at ameriprise advisors.com/drew.baker. Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc. Member FINRA and SIPC.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1182 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com. and MagicalMouseRadio.com, back live on BeLive.tv with our chat that is helping us out here with our shows, and we appreciate that very, very much. If you want to be a part of this new interactive part of the podcast, just join us on Monday evenings around 6:30 Eastern. If you get there a little bit early, you may get some hilarious stuff. Ricky never mutes her microphone, so you never know what you're going to hear. That's exactly right. So anyway, we're going to be talking today about Disney's Hollywood Studios and all the fun you can have there this summer. It is truly a great time to visit Walt Disney World. So joining me today from a DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and The Mouse for Less, where she's blogging about a lot of the stuff we're going to talk about today, we have Ricky. Welcome to the show, Ricky. Happy Friday.
Yay! It's Friday. I'm so happy that it's Friday. That's all. I had a song. That was it.
And just a heads up, we're less than a month until the embarkation of the Be Our Guest podcast cruise on the Fantasy.
Cannot wait. It's going to be so much fun. Oh my gosh. Cannot wait.
I can't
love it.
Wait. We're taking a van over. It's going to have a trailer behind us because we bring too much luggage. But I think we've settled on that. But it's going to be so fun. I can't wait. Yeah, Scott has decided we're going to get him to pick us up at 8:30. So we're going to get there probably about 9:30 and wait out in the scorching sun for 2 hours before we get on the ship. And who cares? I just like to be there. Like I get so excited. I'm scared the ship's going to leave us if I'm not there by 10. I have this weird thing. I love the ships. I got to get there early.
Yes, I know. The ships are fun, I have to say. They're very fun. Better.
All right. Also joining us, we have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, who is working hard with Disney Cruise Line to make this the most, the happiest cruise that has ever sailed. And we're now talking about Small World. What's going on, Pam, on this Friday?
Oh, my goodness. We have lots of fun stuff planned. So surprisingly, a lot of them seem to have to do with drinking. So, I mean, I'm just saying. There's mixologies and whatnot, so whatever. But yeah, looking forward to it. I can't wait to sail with friends again. That's what I'm most excited about, I think. Well, of course, that's why. And I'm just really, really looking forward to it. So I'm sure you guys are too.
Oh, it's it's just seeing your friends, and you get to hang out for 7 days, seven nights with nothing else to worry about other than spending quality time. And, you know, like you mentioned, we're going to have some classes. We're going to do some fundraising for Give Kids the World. We're going to do a live show. We're going to have a cruise, the length of the cruise Olympics, which stay tuned for that. It's going to be a lot of fun. So hone your useless skills, because that's basically what it's going to be. It's going to be an Olympics of useless skills. It's going to be scavenger hunts, all kinds of stuff. So less than a month, we'll be having a great time, and can't wait to sail with everybody. But today we are here to talk about Walt Disney World, and, you know, specifically Disney's Hollywood Studios. And there's a lot to talk about. Pam suggested this show. You know, we talked about Pandora as soon as they got back. Ricky and Pam were down there at the same time. But one of the things we said a couple months ago when they announced this Pixar Live orchestral event that's happening this summer was, I thought, you know, to be honest, I still haven't gone. I haven't seen either. I'm truly more excited about this than I am about visiting Pandora. I know that sounds crazy because Pandora is going to be awesome. I get that. And I know that. But from what I'm seeing on social media, because again, this is something that it's not really spoilery. I can just hear people's reviews, and everybody is posting that they're almost like they're moved, like there's an emotion to this show, and it's well done, and it's something you don't have the opportunity to do in your hometown very much. So Ricky, did you go see the show? Because I want to get you.
I did.
I talked to Pam. Okay, so give me your initial thoughts, then I'll go to Pam, because I've talked to Pam about this, but I'm curious what you thought.
So for those who don't really know what the show is, it takes place in the Beauty and the Beast live on stage theater, and it takes place in the evenings. There is a 5-something show, a 6-something show. I think it's a 5:15, 6:45, and 8-something. I'm not entirely sure. It's on the Disney website, and it's on the page for the Mouseville List. But anyway, so there are 3 different shows each night. And there is a Disney dining plan available option, a dining package available option, as well as, Pam, I know we discussed this while we were there, but now they've added a Fast Pass Plus option as well.
Oh, so my gosh.
They told us no, they've added a Fast Pass. I've seen people discussing that there's a Fast Pass Plus option about it now. So I wanted to tell you that there is one now, apparently. And what it is it's this large orchestra that's on stage, and they perform the soundtracks and the music of Pixar movies. And there's a handful of movies that are played, portrayed in this, I'm assuming, hopefully, probably first iteration of the show. I hope it's the first iteration of the show, and I hope they bring it back each summer. And then on the back, they show movie clips. And then they also have characters that come out on stage as well for each different, you know, for many of the different parts, I guess I should say. It wasn't really something that I didn't really know what to expect, but I thought it would be a very lovely presentation and a very excited. I was very excited about it, kind of like you, Mike. And I have to say, it definitely didn't, it was amazing. I did love it. That's what I want to say. Like, I was really impressed by it, is really what I'm trying to say. I thought that they did a really great job with this. I think that the music that they picked was so poignant. There were definitely parts where you teared up. I think Pam and I can both admit to that.
I think everyone in the theater can admit to that.
Except for probably the people behind me and Hannah, who I don't think had ever seen a Pixar movie, but that was beside the point. So, you know, it's a moving. It's because the music of Pixar really can it transport you and take you to different places. That's really what they showcased in this presentation, is just how great that Pixar music is. I mean, you know, sometimes you can ignore it a little bit. It's you know, it is in the background, but as soon as you hear it, I mean, as soon as you hear like the theme from Up, you know, like the tears are going to be flowing. That's basically what I'm trying to say. So, I mean, but you don't think about the fact that the music is such an integral part of a Pixar movie because it's not, you know, it's not as overt in most of the movies, you know, besides a couple of them, like, you know, Toy Story, and you know, there are some pretty profound songs that are in those movies. But, you know, in most of the other movies, it's not really something that you think about versus, you know, a Disney, you know, like, say, Tangled or Frozen, or, you know, there's definite songs in those movies. Whereas this is the music is definitely something that carries the Pixar movie, and you don't realize that until you hear it. And that's, I think, one of the best parts about this.
Awesome. Yeah. The thing is, yeah, I think you said it just right, is that when I picture the Pixar movies, I picture the action, the characters, you know, I know when I sit down and really think more deeply about it, that the music is an integral part of the experience for those movies. Like Toy Story 3, I can't name the song at the end of the movie, but I bet if they, you know, hit, you know, seven strings of that song, like, oh my gosh, that's where Andy goes away to college. Oh, I can't take it. You know, like, right? I don't know what to expect.
Exactly. You know,
because it is such an emotional connection, especially if you're listening to a podcast like ours. You've probably seen those movies. You probably have a relationship with those movies, and that, you know, music can bring out just raw emotions, like almost like nothing else. So Pam, what were your thoughts on the show?
I loved it so much. I think that, you know, like you both had mentioned, the music really is like another character in all of the Disney movies in general. But maybe the Pixar movies in particular, sometimes there's some great composers there. And when, you know, even Randy Newman just does a fantastic job doing the music to some of those, you know, it's very distinct. I think that's the thing, that the music always really helps, you know, move the story along, enhances the story, and in some ways makes it really memorable. I know that that background music is just something that becomes part of the movie. And as soon as you hear it, you're automatically right there with all of them. And I think, too, the great thing about this was that it is so fantastic to hear a live orchestra perform these songs. It happens right there. It happens live. And that's a really cool thing, I think, for kids in particular to see. This isn't something computer generated. It isn't something that is made by anything other than passionate folks who have this craft that they've perfected for years and do it exceptionally well. It all comes together and just is so fantastic that it's a cool thing. And then you add in the fact that this is going to entertain even your youngest children, because there are clips from the movies being presented behind the orchestra. There's also characters that make appearances throughout this whole show. So it's a cool, cool thing. And I'm so, in some ways, proud of Disney for doing this, because it took a theater like the Beauty and the Beast Theater, which really, you know, only has performances through certain parts of the day, and filled it up in the evening when there wasn't traditionally those things. And I'm so glad to see it. These are all these performers that Disney employs to do this. And that also, I think, is a great opportunity in the music field. So loved it, loved it, loved it.
So, you know, you mentioned it takes place in the Beauty and the Beast Theater down there at the end of Sunset. So what advice, Pam, would you give to somebody like myself? You know, you've been there, the mechanics of it, you know, there's certain things you need to do to maximize your experience, say at Fantasmic. You know, there's certain places to sit, you know, get there early. What do you say? Because, you know, maybe the kids want to see the performers because that's a unique thing. I mean, is it something where they're center stage? I know they show clips from the movies, characters come out. What's some best advice for somebody getting ready to experience this for the first time?
Well, so first of all, I would advise anyone who was maybe going to eat at Hollywood and Vine anyways to consider one of the dining packages, because it's not much more to get that. And it's not like the other restaurants where you would need, you know, you would be eating a 3-course meal. And if you would eat that anyways at one of the other restaurants at Mama Melrose or Brown Derby, then you might want to consider the package as well. Just look and see if it works for you or not. But definitely, if you're eating at Hollywood and Vine, the price is almost identical as what it is just to get the regular buffet. So consider that. Other than that, yes, the performance, it does take, you know, place. But really, in that theater, we were actually very close to the stage and very stage, you know, left of it. You know, we were very to the left of the stage. And I felt like the view that we had was totally fine. One of the things you may want to consider is if your kids want to be closer to the characters as they interact, you'll want to be kind of closer to the front and maybe on the aisles, because not the outside aisles, but the inside aisles in between the different rows of bleachers, the columns sort of bleachers, because the, you know, the characters, they're interacting with people there. So that might be a good suggestion. Or if you're looking for more of an overview of the stage, another thing to consider is sitting higher up may be a good thing to do. Do note, though, that there will be certain areas closed off due to those are reserved for people who did purchase one of the dining packages. So that's something to consider as well.
Ricky, any thoughts, you know, wrapping up and what's the official name of this? Joanne's asking in the chat here.
Pixar Live in concert.
That's it. Yeah. I'm like, go back, look at pictures real fast.
Yeah, Pixar Live in concert. Yeah.
That's it. You know, I think that if you really, really, really want like kind of that middle section, I would say at least get there probably a half hour to, you know, or so before the show that you want to see. If you don't do the dining plan or get a fast pass for it. I will say, and this is one of the things that I thought, like, I was laughing so hard because everybody was like, yes, apparently Pixar has some clout because they were able to get seat cushions for the...
That's what I heard, yeah.
for the seats for the Beauty and the Beast Theater. So your tushy will be happy, I have to say. But yeah, I think it's a fantastic show, and it's definitely can't be missed. And if you have a child, or if you are someone who's very into, you know, playing instruments, I think this is a fantastic show that you can't miss 100%. But either way, you shouldn't miss it. But if you have like a, you know, a family member who's really into orchestra stuff, you don't want to miss this for sure.
So let me ask you one more question about this. And I know this is kind of a subjective thing, but, you know, one of the best shows I've ever seen at Walt Disney World, especially, is Finding Nemo, the musical over at Animal Kingdom. You know, I think that the performers are incredible. It's emotional, you know, because especially for a dad, it's that story. You know, it's very visual. Again, the characters come kind of out into the crowd, you know, the fish, and they swing the things. And, you know, the theater pops with movement and color. Would you say that this event, you know, the Disney Pixar Live in concert over at the studios, because you say the characters come out and kind of come down the aisles. Is it similar to that? I mean, is it? Would you say it's on par with Finding Nemo, the musical at Animal Kingdom?
It's different.
Yeah, very. It is very different. Like, this is truly a concert. And the characters are really only out for a very short period of time at the beginning of each segment. So I don't want folks to think they're going in for a character experience, because that's not really what's happening. It just is, the characters make kind of a short appearance to kind of intro during the intro, in between, you know, each segment is kind of a movie,
right?
And they're there for that, and then of course they all come out at the end, which is typical of a Disney production. But it's like that, and in some ways it's so much more than Finding Nemo, just because it's the storytelling kind of through the song and not the puppets, I think, is the best way to really kind of describe that. I mean, of course, there is also the film going on behind to kind of remind you what they're all doing. But I really, this is so much bigger. It's like a 42-piece orchestra. So it's a much bigger production than the Finding Nemo thing.
You know, I wonder, too, if this has something to do with, because Disney learns and Disney evolves with their attractions and their experiences that they give to the guests, that I think the Frozen sing-along was a bigger hit than they were expecting. But I think one of the cool things about the Frozen sing-along, this is just personal, you know, because we've seen it a few different times, is that Frozen was a very popular movie that was emotional. You know, a lot of people really bought into that story of Anna and Elsa and the whole connection there. But when you got to see just the very best of the clips and everybody singing along, I mean, they took, you know, a really good movie, but then you took like the best 10 minutes of video footage out of it and the best songs. I think it was just like, it was just like the best of the best of the best. And you walked out of there like, this is awesome. So, Ricky, do you think this might be an evolution from that? I mean, because with the live performers, that definitely takes it to the next level. But they maybe looked into their music library and said, wow, we have something here with that Pixar connection.
It could very well be. It felt, you know, less like they were, I mean, I agree with Pam. It's like they're telling little mini movies. It wasn't like it's corresponded necessarily with the movie per se. So it's not like they told the story of the movie necessarily throughout the segment. Like I can think of the Finding Nemo, Finding Dory segment. Like they weren't like showcasing the movie throughout the thing. They were showcasing different clips and how they were, you know, how the music really tied together with the whole overall overarching both movies. So whereas like the Up segment, it was legitimately like the first 10 minutes of Up where you're bawling your eyes out. So like, I mean, no, seriously. I was like, oh, please don't.
The balloons. Like, no, not the balloons.
No, the whole thing. Yeah, exactly. They showed the whole first 10 minutes of Up. Come on. Like, seriously, I don't watch the first 10 minutes of Up.
Exactly.
For that
don't show me a scrapbook. Do not show not the scrapbook.
Oh, no. Yeah. So, I mean, like, it depended on which movie they were really showcasing. And, you know, it didn't have like an overarching story to it. Like, you know, like the Historians of Arendelle are there with the Frozen one. There's no overarching story. You were there to see a musical presentation, and that's really what you're there for.
Cool.
It's nice. I really like it. I think it's a great addition to the park.
I think, you know, just on a level outside of Disney, I think it's a great introduction to get kids introduced to live theater, live music.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, you're already in a theme park and it's going to be more forgiving than, say, here in St. Louis going to the Fox Theater, you know, where you're
Absolutely.
Paying $150 for a ticket. You know, you can tell them, okay, you sit quietly. We don't, you know, hoot and holler, you know.
You sit quietly. Again, I don't think the people that sat behind us got that memo. So there's that.
That's awesome.
It is. It's a great opportunity, though. You're
it
absolutely
is.
Right. Like, I wish that everyone, and I mean, look, I'm very forgiving of any kid's behavior, but there are clearly some kids there in particular, and I don't blame the kids by any means, their parents who haven't been out of the house much because they don't behave in public, period. So let alone, you know, all these things. So it is a great opportunity for that. And it helps, I think, folks develop an appreciation for it. I think, you know, as a parent, it's really important to expose your kids to stuff like this, not because of the foo-foo you want to expose and blah, 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 your kids to everything. And of course, darling, we're going to go to all the live theater. But
right.
Often that it's hard as a parent and a child to know what's going to be the thing that really your child becomes passionate about. And if they've never been exposed to something like that, that won't even be on their radar. Like maybe your child will be the next Beethoven or
That's
composer
true.
Of some sort, or the next Randy Newman for that matter. Or maybe they'll be the next animator or the next other famous artist, but without having the opportunity to experience it, I think that it's hard to know what your passion is. And I think as a parent, that's something that I didn't want to have regrets about it, like saying, gosh, I wish we had exposed Hannah to that earlier. Hopefully she, you know, doesn't reach some stage in her life and be like, Mom, why didn't we do this? But anyways, but no, it's just such a cool thing. And you're right, Mike. It is a great opportunity to teach some great manners in that respect. And again, everyone's very forgiving. Well, most people are very forgiving of children and their behaviors at Disney. So,
well, too, you know, you could obviously maybe see a kid that picks up a violin when they go back to school in the fall because they saw this performance, you know, on their Disney trip, and maybe they don't become the next concert violinist, but, you know, it sparked something in them. And I think that, you know,
Absolutely.
Disney's great at that. You know, you don't have to become the best at it, but at least it expands your world a little bit. And I think this can do that for, you know, not just kids, but adults too.
Right. Yeah, absolutely it can. Yeah, it's a great show. And again, so glad, so proud that Disney did this. And it's just, I hope that it gives you just one more reason to visit Hollywood Studios this summer.
All right, let's wrap this up with a quick odds makers. What are the chances, 1 to 100%, that this is still going on December 31st, 2017? Ricky, what do you say? It's still going on December 31st.
I got to go with 5%. I just think that this is a very unique thing that they're doing for the summer. And so I don't see them because it's such a large orchestra that they have on stage. I really do see this as, you know, an only summer event. And it looks like somebody asked when it ends. It looks like the last date is August 27th. So because it involves such a large orchestra and such a unique kind of experience, I don't see it going past that date very much further if it does.
It breaks my heart, but I totally get your logic. I mean, that does sound about right. Pam, do you say about the same odds?
I was going to say purely because of the talent perspective in terms of that. But I think that, first of all, if they get enough positive feedback, and let me tell you, they're asking for feedback on these shows because we had it. It's kind of creepy. It's almost as bad as Google, like within a day of our attending it.
Really?
Both Steve and I received surveys on the My Disney Experience that we had attached, you know, to our bands. The email that the My Disney Experience is attached to about seeing this, and they said, we believe that you may have seen Pixar Live, and we were like, okay.
They know where you sat.
I didn't get that email. That's bizarre. That's so weird. Yeah,
I did get it, but anyways, they are. I know, right? It's Google crazy.
Yeah,
it is.
But I believe that if they get enough positive feedback on this, this is something that they may bring back in some respect, especially until Star Wars, well, Pixar Land, of course, first,
right,
is ready to open, because it will give guests just yet another reason to visit Hollywood Studios. So,
ooh, two things. Maybe, you know how they made Launch Bay to kind of get us ready for Star Wars Land. Maybe this show's to get us ready for Pixar Land. It's like the bridge, they're bridging us over. But
yeah,
also, here's the other theory that I have, mentioning how they know so much about us. Those aren't really cushions that they put into those seats. Those are mapping devices for our tushes. Right. They know, like,
so are you saying they're mapping our butts?
They are. They know where your butts are. Think about it. That's the greatest point of contact for an amusement park. You know, you just sat down on Pirates. Oh, you just sat down on Space Mountain. Oh, you just sat down at Trail's End.
Hopefully they don't send us nutritional recommendations versus on our butt size.
Oh my.
Just saying.
Oh, we see that you need to probably eat a salad next time you're there. Yeah.
All of a sudden, my menu's not the same as everybody else in my family.
Right? My menu doesn't even have mac and cheese on it. What's up?
I wanted the mac and cheese.
They're like, you wanted a personalized experience, Buster. Here it is. Anyway, all right, so let's talk about secrets. You know, got to be keeping secrets. And Disney's not good at this because Ricky has her connections and she's snooping around all the time for the latest blog post. But man, all of a sudden, about 10 minutes before the show goes live, people are saying, you might want to get over to the Great Movie Ride. There's something happening tonight. I remember seeing that on social media. So Ricky, how did that happen for you? Because you usually know about this stuff happening well ahead of time.
Yeah, I didn't know about this one. I was just as surprised as everyone else. So I had been off social media because of me being sick the whole time. Like, I really hadn't been on it very much, but I was checking Facebook a little bit. And so I saw, you know, I think it might have been you actually, Mike, who posted something about it. And I was like, what? There's a new show, you know, like at Hollywood Studios. I remember I was with Pam. We were on a bus. I think it was to Volcano Bay. And I was like, wait, there's a new show that's debuting at Disney's Hollywood Studios. And I was like, hang on, let me look up more information. So I like started doing research on it. And I was like, okay, it's not a replacement for Star Wars. I said, it's a pre-show type thing. And so that is exactly how I found out what Disney Movie Magic was.
And so, that's funny because they knew you were on it. They knew you're on a bus to Volcano Bay, so they're busting your chops is what they're doing. They're like, hey, we'll get you.
Exactly.
Leave property on us, whatever. All right, so Pam, we don't want to get too spoilery on these things because so many people are going down here over the summer, and really, you know, like all of us, we want to experience that firsthand, you know, with our own eyes and our own expectations. But this really dropped with nobody expecting it. So what did you think of this experience? Is it worth getting there early to see this?
Yeah, it is. It is. And it really does kind of. So Universal has a show that is similar to this, where it kind of explores like 100 years of Universal, you know, movie making. And this is really the equivalent of that, in that it is using the theater as the destination for the projections, right? Mm-hmm. As they explore a lot of Disney and other movie making that has occurred over the years, where you're really looking at kind of the best of, and you get to see some appearances from some old Disney movies and then from some of the newer Disney movies, especially those that have premiered or are premiering soon and this summer. So some, you know, great Disney movies there from all ages showing up, projected in a very cool way on the theater. And I love that. I will tell you, these, you know, the projection is getting better and better and better. We've seen it with Happily Ever After, how fantastic it is. And of course, you know, those things, but this is really great too. So really loved seeing this.
So, and I will say it's live action movies that they're showing. So it's not like animated classics right now. It is definitely live action movies.
Yep.
And you know, the thing that we've always heard about the Great Movie Ride is that, you know, it's a great collection of movies. It takes you through those scenes that, you know, can be emotional. But when you picture, here's what I'm thinking. Again, I haven't seen the show. You guys were down there. I wasn't. I'm excited for next month. But one of the best parts of that ride for me, you know, whatever, you know, take it for what it is that very end scene where you see scenes from like Top Gun or Gone with the Wind or, you know, all those classic movie moments. And I think that the thing about the Great Movie Ride, it does take you to great scenes, but it's static. You know, it takes so much to make a change. We've always talked about, oh, they should bring in this movie, they should take out that movie, they should do this with the Great Movie Ride. What I'm hoping is they keep this, but since it's just a digital show, that they could swap out things, you know, not every night, but like every 6 months, you know, and keep it fresh, because so many people do go back, you know, once a year, twice a year. And I think that, you know, this wouldn't be as labor intensive as something that is a physical change. Did that cross your mind, Ricky, as something that this is a possibility of something that could be very dynamic when it moves forward?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think that, they can easily put in new movie clips and, you know, I mean, there were clips as much as early as, you know, that weekend was the debut of Pirates. You know, you had, I'm not 100% if there were new clips from Pirates, but I'm going to guess that there probably were. But you had clips from the new Guardians of the Galaxy, which had just premiered, you know, a couple weeks before. So they were very timely with the movies that they had chosen to put into this show. And I can only imagine that, you know, as time goes on and, you know, more live action movies come out, we're going to see, because I would assume that it's probably going to still be only live action movies. We're going to see this morph into other showcases for other movies as well. And I think that that's a good idea and fantastic. I mean, like Pam said, these production shows are just getting better and better. And I think that this one, it was a silent home run. You know, it's not something that everybody's going to be talking about, but it's definitely something that's worth your time of making sure that you get to see.
And see, this is what I'm excited about. I know that Pandora is getting all the press, and it's going to. It's a land, and it's groundbreaking technology, and Disney is putting a lot of their eggs into that basket. But for me, what I like seeing are these, like you said, these unexpected surprises that plus your Disney vacation. You know, you getting to see the orchestra playing the Pixar music with clips from the movie and characters, that's a win for me every single time. And, you know, an unexpected projection show, another win. Because it's just something that it pluses my trip. It doesn't always have to be a new roller coaster or a new, billion-dollar attraction. I want to see Disney you know, also cutting edge stuff like, you know, flights of passage, you know, that takes a lot of time. That takes years and years to develop. But these little things that they can throw in, because when you think about your Disney vacation, it's not always about Space Mountain and Expedition Everest and, you know, whatever e-ticket attraction, Frozen Ever After. What we come home talking about a lot of times is the Enchanted Tiki Room or the Carousel of Progress or, you know, that late night ride on Dumbo with your kid. You know, it's a good mixture of the big stuff and the memorable little stuff. Pam, do you agree with that? And you hope that, you know, I hope Disney never forgets that.
I 100% agree. And I think one of the things, you know, that I know my family was really looking forward to doing was, first of all, meeting BB-8, which was a great character experience. Loved that they're doing this. I mean, who would ever have thought that you would have the chance to meet BB-8? I mean, that was a cool thing. And then meeting Groot and Star-Lord. Hello, we met baby Groot. And Star-Lord. So Star-Lord was such a fantastic character meet and greet too. He, as we walked up, we all three of us actually happened to be there, me, Steve, and Hannah. And he says to Steve, "Now tell me, my man, you know, when you were young and you were first dating her, did you make her a mixtape?" And of course, Steve had made me a mixtape. So we all laughed about that. And of course, you know, but that was just a really cool interaction. And I think those are the things that we walk away from, you know, by that we really made a connection with him. And of course, baby Groot, who is just adorable. But, you know, that was a really cool thing too. And that's one of the newer things there. And then when we were there, we saw the preview for Pirates of the Caribbean, which actually prior to the preview, I wasn't really looking forward to seeing it. Then once we saw the preview, we all walked out of there and we looked at each other and we're like, oh, I can't wait to see that. So that looked great. And then the next day it changed from Pirates of the Caribbean to the Cars preview. So yes. I mean, it's things like that, that when folks say, well, you know, Hollywood Studios, it's a half day park. When you still have things like Tower of Terror happening and Rock and Roller Coaster and Star Tours, and then you have Toy Story Mania still up and running, and the Muppets and the Great Movie Ride and all these attractions, then you add in the fantastic nighttime shows, these other little character experiences, the Star Wars things going on at Launch Bay, and all the Star Wars things going on at the park. I don't know how people are fitting this into a half day. I'm telling you. Plus, throw in a good meal at the Brown Derby Lounge, or 50s Primetime, or Mama Melrose, or Hollywood and Vine, and avoid all of the counter service locations there.
Right?
And again, I don't know how folks are fitting this in a half day. So if Hollywood Studios could just go ahead and change up the menu into something fantastic at one of those counter service locations, yes. I'm telling you, I'd be at Hollywood Studios a lot more often. So
yes, agreed.
Ricky, you got to remind me of this. I just came up with another great event for the podcast cruise. We're gonna play kind of Family Feud style. Name the songs on Pam's mixtape from Steve.
I think that many would be surprised.
We're going to have to get a copy of that so we can verify that. Anyway, go ahead, Ricky. I just wanted to get that out there to the universe.
I saw you had posted a question that somebody had, and I don't remember what it was. So if you remember what the question was, that would be great.
Well, Lane was asking about the Star Wars fireworks, if they're still going on. That might have been
the one. That's what it was. Yes, that's what it was. Yes, the Star Wars fireworks are still going on. The Disney Movie Magic is a pre-show, and it happens about a half an hour prior to the Star Wars fireworks. So the Star Wars fireworks have not gone anywhere. You don't have to worry about that. They still take place. This is just in addition to the fireworks.
All right. Well, that's just about going to do it for our Friday show. We hope you have you fired up to head to the studios. And who'd have thought that, you know, say 2 months ago. But, Ricky, wrapping this up. Is Disney listening and saying, you know what, we're going to prove to you this isn't a half-day park? Maybe they got sick of hearing that stuff.
If they were listening, they would have listened to us and said, "Hey, guess what? The food here stinks during counter service. We need to update that."
What if next week they announce like three new counter service restaurants?
We'll be
like,
"Wow!" If they announce three new counter service restaurants next week, then I will know that they were listening. I think that they knew that, you know, hey, we've got, you know, Pandora taking place and everything like that. We want to make sure that we still have things that people will enjoy at Disney's Hollywood Studios. And here are some interesting ways that we can do that. And the thing that I really like about these new additions, for the most part, is they are very much related to what makes Disney's Hollywood Studios. They are very much related to the movies. You have the Disney Movie Magic Show, which is absolutely, you know, a showcase of what Disney does best with their movies. And then you have the Pixar show, which again showcases what Pixar does best with their movies, with their music and stuff like that. So to me, these new additions that they are adding are really, I think, fantastic and in touch with what they have, you know, what the park overall, its goal is. So I'm glad to see that.
You keep saying new addition. I keep picturing like a reunion tour at the studios.
No reunion tours.
Telephone Man. Anyway. All right. Well, that's about time to get out of here, I would say, once I start singing on a Friday. So thank you so much for downloading the show and spending some time with us. Today's episode, as always, brought to you by the great folks over at the Magic for Less Travel. And like I said at the top of the show, this summer is a great time to get down to Walt Disney World. So much stuff going on. Some of these things only for the summer. So you don't really want to miss out. And it's only early June. You still got the rest of June, July, August, you know, early September. Well, some of this goes away in September, but, you know, plenty of time. And the funny thing is, you know, there's still ADRs to be had. There's still discounts to be had. Exactly. I mean, you know, I think a lot of people get to this point and say, you know what? Summer's a lost cause. You know, I can't get any fast passes. I can't get any reservations to eat where I want to eat. Pam, we're seeing availability for all those things. And it's really kind of a unique summer.
It is. And first of all, you can only make a fast pass if you're staying on site 60 days in advance. Folks who are staying off site can't make them till 30 days in advance. So there's so many dates that the offsite folks haven't even had a chance to. Last week, I was able to make FastPass Plus reservations in early July for Pandora rides. So there's plenty of FastPass Plus availability. There's a discount that helps you save up to 25% on summer travel dates. That will go away at some point, but you know, there's lots of things you can take advantage of and still get down there this summer. If I hadn't made summer travel plans, you know where I'd be.
That's it. And, well, we're going to be on a cruise, but we'll be at Walt Disney World too. I can't wait. Oh my gosh. Exactly. Get on that plane. Anyway, just drop by themagicforless.com. Everything's there that you need. It's got all the specials, even the booking bonuses that you get. Little goodies for booking with the Magic for Less. And of course, I'm going to work really hard with you to make sure that you have an awesome vacation. I know summers. That's one thing I am an expert at is Walt Disney World. In the summer, I go every year. So let's do this. Let's get it done. So drop by themagicforless.com, fill out that free, no obligation quote, and we'll be planning a great Disney getaway. So again, themagicforless.com. We're also brought to you by Drew Baker, our great friend who's been sponsoring the show for a long time now. He's from Aquitas Financial Group, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc. So when you're looking for someone to give you a free second set of eyes on your financial picture, support the folks who support us and call Drew Baker at 260-271-1050. Email him at drew.baker@ampf.com or look him up online at ameriprizeadvisors.com/drew.baker. Give us a follow on the social media. We're on Twitter and Instagram at @BeOurGuestMike. And join us on our Facebook group. You can get in on the live Facebook chats. They're a lot of fun. We love hearing from you, and you add a lot to the show. Facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. Again, when you do your online shopping this weekend, please do go through our Amazon affiliate link. Just click on BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. Costs you exactly the same price, nothing extra. If you're Prime, you get all those benefits as well. Amazon just rewards us for sending you there, and it really does help pay for the bandwidth, the hosting, and all the good stuff. So again, BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. We truly appreciate it every time you support the show that way. All right, one other thing I'm going to ask you to do this weekend, if you could. I know that you listen to the show. We're getting great numbers, great feedback. But if you don't mind, you know, whatever way you listen, whatever app you use to get the show, Please do subscribe to the show so that you get each and every episode. You don't even have to think about it. It shows up right there on your device. Subscriptions really help us on iTunes and Google Play and on Stitcher. So wherever you listen to the show, you know, I know a lot of folks do stream, but if you would subscribe, that would be excellent. And I truly appreciate that as well. All right, well, it's time to get out of here and turn you loose for the weekend. Of course, we'll be back again on Monday with a great trip report. And, you know, who knows where we're headed? Maybe Disneyland, maybe Walt Disney World. Maybe we'll sail the Disney Cruise Line. To be honest, I can't remember where we're headed this Monday, but it's going to be a lot of fun because it's one of our listeners, and I love talking to you guys. So for Pam and Ricky, I'm Mike, wishing you an awesome weekend. Whatever you do, stay safe, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at beourguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.